When Peter asks about the limits of forgiveness, Jesus responds with a parable that suggests human forgiveness should mirror the ultimate mercy of God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and the payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of the slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who had owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said to him, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slaves fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused, and then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave! I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you through the whom grace and peace to you from the one through whom our sins are forgiven, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the fun parts of being a parent is teaching your kids different things. Especially for us, been teaching different prayers, these rote prayers, whether it be the table prayer that we say or the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes their pronunciation or their understanding of my pronunciation can be a bit off and somewhat entertaining. Now, this didn't happen in our household, but I've heard of the story of a 4-year-old who, during the Lord's Prayer, at that fifth petition, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," prayed this: "And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." I think that's kind of theologically deep, don't you? So today, we're not going to talk about forgiving trash baskets, but we are going to talk about trespasses, forgiving trespasses or sin. And in our gospel lesson today, Peter asks the big question: how many times should I forgive? Now, if you remember, this closely follows the lesson we had from last week, dealing with conflict and those who have sinned against us. You remember, if someone has sinned against you, you go and talk to them. If that doesn't work out, you take 2 or 3 with you, you go and talk to them. If that still doesn't work and they're not listening, you take the church with you and talk to this individual. Finally, if they still haven't listened, to teach them as a tax collector and Gentile. And you remember the great irony in all that was Jesus' relationship to tax collectors and Gentiles. These were people Jesus hung out with, who he taught, who he healed, who he spent time with, who he loved. So we're on the heels of this teaching, and Peter asks the big question: how many times should I forgive sin? And sin in the Greek here is simply means to err or make a mistake. So how often do we forgive those who have wronged us? Peter, suggesting 7, is off by a lot. and to know here, Peter's suggestion, 7 here, is actually really quite generous. The law only required 3 times that one should be forgiven, and then the 4th time, according to Amos, punishment follows. But Jesus gives the unqualifiable answer. Our passage reads 70 times 7. Or 77 times. Other translations read 70 times 7. The point here isn't an actual number, but rather that it is an uncountable number. It's endless. And Jesus tells a parable to emphasize that. Now, a parable, if you recall, a parable is a story. It's a story that names a new an unimaginable reality, one that would be completely out in right field of what people are living with in the day. A reality that is a kingdom reality, God's kingdom. In Jesus' parable, the story of a servant who is forgiven a very large debt. Not just a large debt, a huge debt. If you read the little note in the bottom of your Bible, it says, a talent is more than 15 years' wages of labor. So we're talking about 150,000 years' worth of labor that this servant owes his master. 150,000 years. This is an impossible debt. An impossible debt to meet. Comparatively, the same man is owed 100 denarii. Now, a denarii is about a day's labor. So he is owed roughly 3 months, or a little over 3 months' worth of salary, which is still a significant amount. However, he chooses not to show the same mercy he was just shown on his forgiven debt. He is unwilling to forgive a smaller debt despite his own good fortunes. Now, forgiveness is something that we routinely speak of, especially here in church. Worship begins with confession and forgiveness. Many of our hymns contain notions of forgiveness. We pray to God to forgive us as we forgive others in the Lord's Prayer, and we partake in the Lord's Supper, drinking Christ's blood for the forgiveness of sins. Personally, in my own life, every night, my bedtime prayer, I ask for forgiveness. And quite frequently throughout the day, I pray the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I say this, who knows, endless times throughout the day, whenever facing trials, temptations, anything that is drawing me away from God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgiveness is a big part of our lives. But what if I told you that you were already forgiven? Long before you even asked to be forgiven. What if I told you were forgiven before you were even asked to be forgiven by God? In the Book of Concord, which is a nice, thick book of Lutheran doctrines, it's our guidebook, and it teaches this on forgiveness. There is a great need to call upon God and pray, Dear Father, forgive us our debts. Not that God does not forgive sins, even apart from and before our praying, for before we prayed for it, or even thought about it, God gave us the gospel, in which there is nothing but forgiveness. But the point here is for us to recognize and accept this forgiveness. Therefore, it is necessary constantly to run to this petition and to get comfort that will restore our conscience. Yes, God has forgiven you before you even thought about it. God has forgiven you before you have even thought about it. And we pray and ask for forgiveness to remind us of God's radical, unimaginable love and forgiveness in our lives. And this includes every sin, even those huge sins that couldn't possibly be forgiven. Remember the king and the servant in our parable? This is what God does for us. God forgives us all our wrongdoing, no matter what. It doesn't matter how big or how terrible something we've done. God forgives it all, and God means it. Now, I've been in the pews where you sat, and I've sat and I've heard the confession and forgiveness, and I've doubted, I've dismissed God's forgiveness because surely it wasn't for me. But that isn't God's reality. God forgives no matter what. We do not have to get right with God. That's something you hear a lot, especially down here in the Bible belt, that you need to get right with God. No. We do not need to get right with God. God has already made our relationship perfectly whole and right. God has done that for you freely. Yeah. So, when the world, when the people around you tell you that you are a sinner, say this: you betcha. You betcha I'm a sinner, and God has unconditionally forgiven me. This is our new reality in Christ. It is all about God forgiving, and we're invited to do the same. We are invited to forgive those who have sinned against us and who have wronged us. Author Lewis Smedes, is quoted as saying, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you." To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that that prisoner was you. This is all in Christ's teaching how to live as a community, a Christian community. Forgive as we've been forgiven. Be set free from the burdens and the grudges that hold us down. Now, I realize forgiveness can be a challenging thing. Sometimes forgiveness comes more easily with oversight infractions, little things that we forgive here and there. But there are other times when forgiveness is terribly difficult. It's a challenge when deep pain has been caused. But brothers and sisters, no, Christ has forgiven you. And that Christ walks with you as you journey in forgiving others. Because forgiveness is a journey. It's not something that just snap at the end of a finger is done. It's a journey to find reconciliation with another who has wronged you. I think Martin Luther's great insight 500 years ago was this dynamic between him and God. Luther realized that righteousness was not God's expectation, but instead God's gift. Righteousness was not God's expectation, but God's gift. God was responsible to make him right, not vice versa. And once he realized that some of God's favorite things to do were to forgive those who seemed unforgivable, to love those who felt unlovable, to make right those things that seemed so persistently in the wrong, Luther was not only freed from his fear of punishment, but he was also freed to love and forgive and to care for those around him. I believe this runs true for forgiveness also. And when we realize that forgiveness is not primarily God's expectation, but rather God's gift, we are engulfed in that mercy and grace and find ourselves more able to turn in that mercy and grace toward others. So let us live. Let us live in God's abundant mercy. Let us live in God's abundant forgiveness. Let us live in God's abundant life and love. Amen.